Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. With a multitude, they kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So you can almost see, it's not hard to see the distress, is it? It's not hard to see the pressure that David was under. Many believe that this was a time when Absalom, his son, had taken over his kingdom, and David was on the run and away from Jerusalem, away from the place of worship when he used to gather with the people of God, and now he's out on his own. He's being cut off, and he's experiencing the agony of that, and he's remembering, and he's crying out to God continually, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And there's almost a sense where the enemies are gloating over him, where he is in a place that he's used to enjoy so much of the fellowship of God, and now it seems as if everything is lost. It seems as if he can't seem to get close to the Lord, maybe because of his sin or because of the situations that he was in. He was struggling. I don't know about you as a Christian, but I have found at times myself struggling. And we all do. But you know, sometimes it's not a bad thing to be in a hard place. We would like it that every day everything went well. And we have preachers that tell us what you want. God has promised you wealth, health, and prosperity, and you're not going to have any trouble, and you're going to just sail through because you're on the victory side. And I don't think that's true at all. I believe that the Lord allows us to go through deep adversity. Either that or the Apostle Paul was on the outs with God, because we know that he experienced such trial and tribulation that he could say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He knew what it was to be going through deep and hard trials. And yet, there is this sense that you find in this psalm, as you'll find in many of the psalms, of a hunger for God. That a hunger that won't quit. Yeah.
Well, it looks like he said, I remember they were in the house of God and they were having a feast.
Yeah.
So they were having a good time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always last.
No. Yeah, thank God for those times when everything's going just right on. Because mm-hmm. sometimes they aren't going to be. And so in the middle of the trial that David's in, and the being far away in his soul, we find him crying out to God. And he says, maybe he's out in the wilderness. We see him speaking about being up on these mountains, on the outskirts of Israel. Not on the end, but he's on the outside looking in, so to speak. And as he's out in the desert, maybe he sees a deer going for the water brook. You see a deer coming from the desert, thirsty, and looking for that drink. And the water brooks is like a stream that flows down in the valley. And as he watched that deer panting for water, and maybe even struggling to get to the water, David thinks, oh, that's what my soul is like. As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. I long for you, O God. I desire you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Lord, I don't want anything less than you. I don't want anything less than fullness. I need you, Lord. And, you know, that picture that we find about a thirst for the Lord and that longing for God is not a picture that is just for David, but it's a picture that you'll find right through the scriptures. And it is not a bad thing to have that longing for the Lord, because we have promises in the Bible. What does it say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6? Anybody know the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It is need that drives us to God. We might be able to say, well, we shouldn't have need to have any need for us to come to God. But we discover, I know I have discovered, often it's when there is a need that I'm crying out to God. When everything is sailing along and there isn't any problems, I tend not to. I tend not to be quite so fervent in prayer, quite so seeking of God. But when I see my need, whatever that need might be, I'm driven. I need you, Lord. Oh, God, have mercy. And if you want to look at, if you look at the Old Testament and watch Israel, Israel had a desperate need of God. God answered prayer. God raised them up. God restores them. They start going on for the Lord. And then they begin to drift. All right? Then they begin to look at the other nations around them. And, oh, look what they've got over there. Gee, they got pretty fancy looking idols over there. We don't have any. And they start wandering and they start, and all of a sudden their lives come crashing down. The blessing of God departs from them. They're in a mess because they've taken their eyes off the Lord. And what happens? They get into a place of desperate need. Now, when that happens, what do? They start to pray, right? They start crying out to God. And as they cry out to the Lord, what does God do? He answers. God answers prayer. And God hears that cry. And God heard David's cry. There's no question about that, even as we think about this. And we find this cry over at different times. In Psalm 63, we see, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And this is a beautiful psalm. We'll get there someday. But we see him crying out to God here and expressing, look, I long for you more than anything else. There's no water anywhere else. Tom mentioned about going to prayer. It's the place where we can leave our burdens. There is no other place. There is no other source. When Jesus said, I am the way, he was telling us the truth about it. When he says, I am the truth, there is no other one. He says, I am the life. There is no other source of life, abundant life. There's no other place to go. And we so quickly will try to find our satisfaction somewhere else. And we'll find ourselves eventually disappointed. And praise the Lord, if you get miserable because you have looked away from God, then that's a blessing. Thank God for your misery, because there's hope for you. Mm-hmm. The worst is if someone has no misery, because then they are not under the disciplining hand of God. The disciplining hand of God will do whatever needs to happen to bring you back into fellowship with God. And this is the expressions that we see. This is why David was a man after God's own heart. That when he slipped, when he fell, or when he got into circumstances, he just realized, what I need is more than anything, what I need is God. I need you, Lord. And he cries out to the living God, looking for the blessings that God can give. So we have those kinds of promises. And I have one in Isaiah 44. Here's the promise that God gives. Isaiah 44:2, thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Is that encouraging? He will help you. Oh, dude, if we can grab a hold of the verses of Scripture and lay hold of them by faith, there's a promise there. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on him who is what? thirsty. I will pour floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit in your descendants and my blessings on your offsprings. So what I love about this is that it says, if you're thirsty, I will pour water, right? But what if you're not thirsty? What if you don't? If you're not living in with that thirst, if there isn't any thirst, then you're not looking for that, right? But if you're like the deer that's panting for the water, if you're realizing, oh God, I need you more than anything else, Lord, I need you, He will meet that need. He will pour out a blessing. He will touch our lives. He will bring us in, and He will cause us to experience floods on dry ground. So there are times when the ground dries up. And there are times when we are thirsty. But there is an answer for that thirst. And David, as he cries out here, I didn't get back to where I was going. As he cries out here, he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God? That theme of thirst and fulfillment, we find it all through the scriptures. We discover, for example, in John chapter 4, verse 13. Do you remember the woman at the well? Remember what she said? She said, where are you going to get? He said, whoever, if you knew who it was, Jesus said, John 4, 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor have to come here to draw. She didn't quite understand it. But he was saying, you know, her focus was on that water that was down in that well. And she asked the question, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. This is Jacob's well. And that well was there for thousands of years. And it had supplied water to Israel for thousands of years. This was like, whoa. And Jesus is saying, that water, it doesn't satisfy. That water doesn't penetrate. I have living water. And David had some taste of that living water. And that's what he longed for in his experience. Living water. Are you drinking from the fountain? In the book of Jeremiah, Israel was challenged with this. As the Lord said to them, my people have committed two evils. One, they forsook the fountains of living water. Two, they went and dug for themselves wells that carry no water at all. Two evils. One, to turn away from the wellspring of life and turn to any other well. It doesn't matter if whatever that well is. It doesn't matter how legitimate it is. It will not satisfy the soul. It will leave you in a desperate place. But praise God, there is a source. There is the source. There is living water. And that those longings can be fulfilled and that God is able to accomplish it. Jesus said in John chapter 7, well-known passage of scripture, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Oh, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for life? Are you thirsty for more of the Lord? If you are, come and drink. Just come and drink. In the book of Isaiah 55, it says, everyone that's thirsty, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Come. The invitation stands. It's open. Isn't it wonderful to know that it's open? Mm-hmm. And yet, it doesn't mean maybe that just instantly things are going to happen. But that hungering and thirsting for God, it drives us to our knees. It brings us into the presence of God. It creates longings in our heart, which can only be satisfied at the throne room. But it can be. Jesus said, he who believes in me, he who depends on me, that's what it means. He who trusts in me. He said, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Overabundance, Jesus promises. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we understand now that the source of the fullness is none other than the Spirit of God, who is God himself. And that God himself wants to be the provision for his people. The most important thing that you can take into your body is water. Everything else is secondary to water. The most important thing that you can experience in your life and live under the strength of is the Holy Spirit. You can't substitute for that. There is no other substitute. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our experience, and God has promised fulfillment from him as we trust in him. You know, an interesting point when Jesus was being crucified in John 19:28, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. It's interesting because it says that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You know, there isn't a direct scripture that's being referred to here, but there are multitudes of scriptures that speak about thirst and that speak about desperation and speak about not having the sustenance that we need. And so they gave him something to drink. But I believe that Jesus thirsted at the cross that you might have your thirst fulfilled. I believe that he experienced this, that we wouldn't have to experience a thirst without satisfaction by coming to Jesus Christ. And so then the final invitation that's in the book of Revelation says, 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, the Lord is generous. And as we go through dry seasons, and we go through times and circumstances where it seems as if very little is being accomplished, I want you to know that God meets our need. And David, as he cries out, he remembers the blessings of God. He remembers the fellowship of being with God. He looks at his soul. He says, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hoping God, for what has he said? I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I will yet praise him. Now, David was experiencing this depression. He was experiencing this dearth at the moment. But in the midst of that dearth, he kept on affirming that God was going to meet him, that he would be blessed, that as he remembered the longing of days of being in fellowship again, and he's looking to the Lord for that restoration of it, he continually affirms these, even in the midst of his troubles. He says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And so then he mourns again, and he cries out, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The help of my countenance, the help of my deliverance is in my God. That in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the valley, we can cry out to God with an assurance that he will hear that cry, that we know that he will. And it may be true that weeping does endure for the night. It may be true that we go through struggles. And it may be true that in the moment we're miserable and that misery isn't just lifted instantly. But we can cry out to God with an assurance he will meet us, he will lift us, he will restore us. He will bring us in out of the cold, because that's what he does. And then in Psalm 43, we see the theme continued. Vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. So not only had David, you know, we saw earlier that David had sinned, and that part of his trouble was from that, but also it was outside attack. It was outside circumstances, and it was circumstances that God was allowing to happen in his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes and he says, lest I be exalted above measure, there was a thorn in the flesh sent to buffet me. And where did he say it came from? Does anybody know?
God.
Is that what he said?
Satan.
What's that?
Satan. God allowed it.
God allowed it, but it was from Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what Paul says. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. So Paul says, lest I become proud. That's what he actually says here. To guard against me becoming proud, exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. He just spoke about the different revelations that had come to him, that God had done amazing things in Paul. And Paul was experiencing amazing things. And in the midst of that amazing, those amazing things, he says, so that I would not become puffed up and proud, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so Paul sees the hand of God behind it, even though Satan is doing the attacking. Do you see that? Do you see that God is so sovereign that even though the devil attacks you, and that even though you're in a trial or in a distress or that things are coming against you in a hard way, that God is still on the throne. He's still in control and nothing happens without his permission. You read the book of Job and you see that God gave permission, didn't he? For Job to be tormented. He allowed it to happen. Some people get mad about that. Some Christians say, oh, that's not possible. God would never do that. Here we see it. And here we see that Paul said, God is using this in my life. And so he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He pleaded with the Lord. Lord, I don't want this. Whatever affliction that he was experiencing, many believe that it was an eye problem, because in the book of Galatians, he actually wrote and he said, I know that if you could have, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And then Paul at times dictated most of his letters, didn't write them. And one letter that he did write, he said, look, I've written you with large letters. So it seems quite clear to me that there was an affliction that he had. And yet Paul was healing other people, but he couldn't heal himself. And he cried out to God for it and he didn't get it. And so here he is going through a hard circumstance. And yet what happens with him as he looks at this? He gets an answer from God. The answer is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast. So first of all, God speaks to Paul, and he knows that God has a plan in it. And he realizes that God's grace is sufficient, and his strength is enough, even in this weakness, even in this trouble, even in this affliction, and even in this situation. So Paul says, I'm going to boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is bizarre. This is, what is this? This is God meeting Paul in his weakness. This is God using hard circumstances to bless Paul's life, using the devil's attack to turn it around for a blessing, so that, yes, all things do work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. God causes the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust. We are going to experience trial. We're going to experience trouble. We're going to experience affliction. We're going to find ourselves at times crying out to God in agony of soul. And yet, the Lord is still on the throne. He's still in control. And he meets us where we are. Sometimes we are kicking, just complaining and kicking, instead of, yes, pour it out to the Lord. I, by all means, ask the Lord for healing. By all means, do that. And who knows what God might do. Many times he does heal. Other times he has other purposes. Trust him. Trust him, but look to the Lord. Cry out to God. Focus on him, even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of those circumstances that can be tough. Because David could say, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. David longs to be back among the people of God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You're going through it. And there are times when we are, when it seems as if, oh, Lord, I'm struggling here. Oh, keep looking to the Lord. Keep crying out to God, because he will come. He will visit you. He will respond. He will lift you up. He will send out his light. He will send out his truth. He will lead you, and he will lead you into the place of where he is, the temple of God, the presence of God. And David says, I'm going to be praising the Lord again. I am going to be rejoicing in God again. God is faithful. I can trust him. He is good. So why would you be cast down? David's talking to himself. See that? Do you notice that? It's biblical to talk to yourself. Just in case. Just so you know that. Some people think you're crazy when you talk to yourself. It's not. David did it all the time. He speaks to his soul. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Right? So it's okay. You find yourself talking to yourself. I do plenty of it. And he gives himself a pep talk. Hope in God, he says to himself. Hope in God. We have so many scriptures and promises that can be with us when we are going through struggles, when we find ourselves feeling quite barren. You're not always going to feel skip-de-doo-da. You're not. There are times when you're going to feel lousy. There are mornings I wake up, I don't feel any more saved than my cat. But I am. Right? Because my position is not based on what I feel in a given moment. My position is that God has taken me as his own. And if I slip and slide, and at times I stumble and fall, Dallas Holm wrote a song years ago. He said this in the song, I know there have been times I've been out of his will, but I have never been out of his care. I have never been out of his care, and neither are you. If you're the Lord's, there's no demon, no hell, no sin. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His faithfulness will come through. Trust him. Cry out to him. Look to him. In the midst of the mourning, in the midst of the struggles that we experience, know that the Lord is faithful. Know that as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled. Know that this times when tears have been your food day and night, and when others look at you and say, well, where's your God now? Or where's your, where's the blessing now? I'm sure there were people that said to Paul, aren't you supposed to be a great healer? What's the matter with you? Can't you heal yourself? What could Paul say? What could he say? Well, he explains what happens here in this passage of scripture. But it would be, we like to think of, Paul marching through and just being Mr. Victory and, the handsome preacher that's always smiling and everything is wonderful. And everything. You know that Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Did you read that passage? Did you know that that's in the Bible? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, I don't know if I want to say that. I say it's been worth having the Lord in my life, even if there was no heaven. It's still been worth having the Lord in my life. Even if there was never a heaven, I'm so glad I have Jesus and what he has done in my experience up until now. Wouldn't trade it for nothing. But of course, I haven't been in the deep so many times. I haven't got the lashes across my back. I haven't been stoned and beaten with rods and sticks and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't experience all of that. And, you know, when Paul says, hey, listen, it's better to be with Christ than to leave here. I'm afraid most Christians are you know, they kind of say, well, Lord, I want to be with you, but not today. Wait a little longer. Take me in 10 years. Take me in 20 years' time. Part of that is that we are living in such a bubble that may burst one of these days. When it does, then we'll see where the real water lies. And for each of us, sometimes we will hit some kind of a wall, some kind of a situation, whether it's our own personal failings or sin. Sometimes it's going to be sickness or maybe death. It might be whatever circumstance that will bottom us out to the place where we realize, oh, there is really only one source. I really need to drink at your fountain, Lord. I really need to be in your presence. Oh, God, I long for you as David longed for the Lord and said, if only I could be there. Praising and worshiping, walking, thinking, living in the presence of God. That's David's heart cry. But in the midst of his heart cry, there is assurance. Somehow, God's going to work this out. Somehow, God's going to get me through. And that's the truth. As another, I'm quoting Andrew Crouch again, no matter what the case may be, I know my God is going to fix it for me. He will, and he can, and I'm glad of it. Praise the Lord. With hungerings and thirstings, may we have that hunger and thirst for God. And if it takes a little bit of devastation in our lives to bring us there, so be it, that we will thirst for the Lord above everything else. Any comments or questions? We flat out there for a little while. No?
No, I was just thinking about something. Like you say, but sometimes you're flowing along, there's no catastrophes.
Yeah.
So you're not, especially when you're on the Lord,
right,
the way he wants us to, and the way that if we were, we would, you know, have a more blessed life,
right,
and a better relationship. But then, so I'm thinking, when we're in that space of just floating around and not really, I know, like in that particular, I don't know, first Paul was talking about, that Satan had caused this thorn in his flesh,
mm-hmm,
and God had allowed it. But does God ever cause something to happen in our lives so that we will cry out to him, to come back to him?
Absolutely.
So he does.
Yeah. I hard circumstance. Sometimes think, why is this happening? How could this be? Or, you know, whatever it might, the affliction or trouble or trial that comes along. And, you know, this, God doesn't really want things to be this way, but he is allowing adversity so that we're driven, so that suddenly we realize, I need you, Lord. Or God makes it happen somehow. He actually brings us back. Sometimes it's a funny way, path back to God sometimes, isn't it?
I think sometimes it's not only circumstances. Sometimes it's just general,
yeah,
despair.
Yeah.
Internal despair.
Right.
And you realize, whoa,
yeah,
I am so empty. What's
right
happened here?
Yeah.
And you realize, you're not where you should be,
right,
with God, right? And God, yeah, will bring you to that point.
Definitely.
Yeah.
True.
Nowhere else to go. Yeah. Well, sometimes we try other things, you know, just,
sure,
simple little things that you think will bring
pleasure.
But, you know, yeah, yes. And sometimes you know that where you should be is crying out to the Lord. But sometimes you just, I don't know, I found myself sometimes thinking, well, he caused this, so. It's a foolish thing to think. So if he causes, if I cry out to him, he's, you know, what's to say he's going to hear and listen to me?
Oh, well, I mean, sure, there are times when we wonder that. But that's why David kept telling himself, God's going to.
Mm-hmm.
He kept reminding himself of the faithfulness of God in the midst of that trial,
yeah,
you know.
You have to have patience.
Yeah, that's right.
But sometimes you don't have patience.
Mm-hmm.
So you think there's another way
yeah.
to get what you want. When does it work?
No, not in the end. Yeah. Nothing works. Yeah. It doesn't work. Yeah. For sure. Anybody else? Maybe you're a person that's there's a particular struggle in your life right now. Cry out to the Lord. Look to the Lord above the circumstances. No matter what it is, keep on looking to the Lord. He will answer. Do you notice that Paul prayed how many times?
Continually.
Yeah, how many times did he pray about this affliction?
Three
times. Sometimes we just pray once. You know, when we say, I don't know how many times you might be praying or crying out to God. He prayed three times, it says. But do you think he might have prayed four?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he pray four?
Probably did, but they just don't document it.
Well, no, that's not the reason why.
God answered.
Right? He prayed three times, and the Lord answered at the third time. Now,
yeah.
If he had prayed four times, or he might have prayed five. So whatever the number of times... Whatever it is, keep on praying. Keep on looking to God. That's right. Keep on looking to the Lord. He is faithful. He is not going to abandon. And even if there's a period of time, and then obviously there was at least a period of time. I don't know what that means, three times. I don't think it was like, Lord, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me. I think it was more like, you know, he spent a day in prayer about this matter. And then he spent another time in prayer about this matter. And then he dedicated more time again in prayer on that matter. And then finally the Lord had an answer for him. It wasn't the answer that he had asked for. He asked for deliverance from it. And God says, no, I'm not going to do it. I got something better for you in the middle of this trial. So the Lord is faithful. And he will use the circumstances, whatever he needs. I've said this before. God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. He'll make you miserable if it'll make you holy. Now, it doesn't mean he wants to make you miserable forever. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the affliction that we receive now works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because that's what his promises are. It's what he says. That he does it for our benefit, for our holiness, that he chastises and corrects us. And sometimes it is not necessarily that we're being chastised for something we've done wrong. It wasn't in the sense that Paul had done wrong. It was to prevent Paul from doing something wrong. It was a protection for him. It was to keep him in a place where he would not become exalted or proud or miss the blessing of God, the privilege of honoring Christ only and not himself. It was a blessing in his life. So sometimes God will bring problems and trials and afflictions in our life because it keeps us in a place where he gets the glory and we're blessed. We are blessed. Whatever comes, we are still blessed. God is still good. Anybody else? Well, why don't we sing As the Deer Pants for the Water? I'm going to send this back over to my technician.
One of her many jobs.
The cables are there.
Yep.
Got a number?
16.
I do 16, yeah.
Desire and thy love.
Thirsty, let him have a drink. Thank you, Lord, that every other well is dry. That the mirages of this world, Lord, will leave our mouths full of sand. But, Lord, we thank you there is one true source. Even tonight, O God, turn our eyes on Jesus. Turn our hearts towards you, Lord, in a fresh way. Cause us to come, Lord, and seek your face. Don't let us be distracted, O God, by those empty wells, to continually come to you. Thank you for adversity. Thank you for trials. Thank you for everything that you bring into our lives, Lord, because you are a faithful God and that we can trust you no matter what comes. Thank you, Lord, that we can abandon ourselves to a wonderful God who loves us so deeply and richly. I praise you tonight, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.